Okay, so I am Jeffrey Drucker. If anybody needs to contact me about this, my email is Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Boston at yahoo.com. Today I am going to demonstrate the Wilson Mini Recorder version 3. This is a digital voice recorder. It's targeted to a little bit different audience than the ones you may have seen. I think most of you know the Sony, and there's a couple other brands. These are belt-mounted recorders. They come with a holster. I have avoided buying one of those because I know for me it'll wind up in the toilet in the first 5 minutes. The Wilson Mini Recorder is designed to be the size and shape of a credit card, intentionally. It also is designed to have a price point of about $30. The designer is Ed Wilson. He's a real person. He's now 75 years old. He lives out in Arizona, and he's still designing stuff. The first version that came out a few years ago used 2-button batteries, and the batteries didn't seem to last very long, about 8 months. They're kind of odd batteries. Sometimes it's hard to find them. And it had a metal skin, and after pressing the button a million times, the skin got a little wobbly, and it was used to make battery contact, and sometimes it lost battery contact. So that's when they decided he needs a rechargeable one. Then he came out with version 2, which I demoed here a couple of months ago. It had a little cable that you plugged into your computer would charge the battery. It was pretty nice. The problem that we eventually found out is he picked the wrong kind of battery. It is a rechargeable battery, but it's the kind of battery where when it falls below a certain percentage of charge, you cannot charge it again. And this is not like your iPhone where you have to charge it every day. I think I may have charged it 2 or 3 times in a whole year. And unfortunately, when it gets run down, you couldn't recharge it, so I crapped a couple of version 2s because I couldn't charge them again. So now we're on to version 3. Much better battery. You can always recharge this battery. Much better microphone, much better sound quality. Much larger loudspeaker. This little tiny thing in my hand will fill an entire room. More buttons. Ed has tried to incorporate some of your comments from my last demo. He also makes a belt-mounted recorder similar to the Sony, and he's trying to shove as many features into this credit card thing as possible. The reason that I bought this is not so much the credit card size. It has a little hole in the corner for a keychain. I figure if I attach my keys to this, I'm not going to lose it. And all the other belt-mounted ones don't have that function. So that's why I got this. I do have my keys on it. Although Ed tells me that most of his customers don't use it as a keychain. They just slide it in their pocket. It's very slim, so it doesn't bulge out your pocket, and you don't need a holster for it. And that seems to be the reason why most people choose this model, is it's very inconspicuous. So I'm going to describe some of the changes from version 2 to version 3. The version 2, the charging cable had a mini USB connector, which I think most of you are familiar with on your iPhones. Ed got complaints that people were breaking off the connector when they plugged it into the recorder. I couldn't understand that. I never had this problem. I don't know why other people are having this problem, but you know, if you break off the connector, you can kiss this thing goodbye. So he has changed to a different kind of charging cable. It's now one of those mini sub-miniature earphone plugs, smaller than the 3/8-inch plug, and it's on a right angle and it swivels. So when you plug it in, it moves around, so it's harder to break. I don't know, I'm not actually trying to break it, but the problem is if you ever lose the charging cable, it's kind of a queer cable, and I'm sure you can order it on the internet, but it's not the kind of thing you're going to find at Staples, so you'd be careful not to misplace the charging cable. The other feature that he has added is an on-off switch. It's a little slide switch on the edge of the recorder. It's barely tactile. For those of you who have neuropathy, you may have trouble even finding the switch. Don't know why we need it. When this thing is idle, it's not using battery power. So I just leave it on all the time. The only function I have found for this switch is you can overwhelm the computer by pressing too many buttons too fast in the wrong sequence, which I often do on purpose because I'm trying to break things. If you turn it off and turn it back on, it acts as a reset button. So that's probably its only function. I just leave it on all the time. The reason that he added this switch is in version 1, the play record buttons were very light buttons, meaning it was very easy to press them. And sometimes they would press in your pocket inadvertently. So I'm, you know, walking down the sidewalk, and it always happens that some very attractive young lady walks past me, and she starts hearing from my crotch, you know, which is never a good scene. So he put this switch on, so he told me you can switch it off so it doesn't accidentally play back. However, on version 3, the buttons are stiffer, so I haven't had that problem. So on the front of this unit, there are now 5 buttons. There used to be 4 buttons. And some of the buttons are obvious and some of them are a little strange. So you have your record button, you have your play and stop, which is one button, and you have your delete button. There are 2 other buttons. Now there's a volume button, because this thing can get incredibly loud. I've never had occasion to change it. The problem is, you can't interrogate the button. If you press it, you've changed it. I think it's like 6 different sequences that it cycles through. I don't change it very often. I would have preferred a slide switch on the side where at least you can feel with it the position of the switch, but Ed didn't do it that way. There is another button here which is very unique to version 3. It's a check message button, a CM button. And if you press it, let me press it for you here. If you press it, it will give you a count of how many messages are on your recorder. There's no limit to the number of messages. It records for 2 hours. I found this feature almost useless because you'd have to know that the message you want to hear is message number 4, which is, you know, grandma's phone number. The problem is that when you add and delete messages, it changes the number assignment. So it really doesn't serve any purpose. If you hold the button down, it's going to start counting off the messages.
1. If this
12. Message 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is number 617-953-953.
I'll stop it. Okay, so when you get to a certain number, like number 4, if you let go of the button, it plays message number 4. The problem is you never really know which is message number 4. So I didn't find this feature particularly effective. I'm actually using the check message button as a stop button, and I'll explain why. In version 2, there was a pause button, which I found useful, and it will either pause during record or it'll pause during playback. He has eliminated the pause button. There is still a pause function, however, there's no separate button. So if I'm going to record a message for you now. Hello, this is Jeff speaking, and I am at the Vibug meeting demonstrating the new Wilson Mini Tim's Mother Wears Army Shoes. And I'm continuing with the demonstration now, and everything seems to be going fine. I really love MIT. Okay, so we're almost finished with the message. Stop. Now, if I play this back, where I hit pause, that didn't get recorded, I hope.
Hello, this is Jeff speaking, and I am at the Vibug meeting demonstrating the new Wilson Mini. And I'm continuing with the demonstration.
I just hit volume.
It's going fine. Okay, so we're almost finished with the message.
All right, so you can pause and resume recording. When you're in playback and you hit the play button, you can pause and resume playback. So the pause is on both the record and the playback button. Here's the problem with not having a separate button. I finished recording and I want to stop it. If you're playing back a message, the message has started, oh wait, that's not the message I want to hear, I want to skip over it. You can't stop it. If you hit stop, you've actually put it into pause. When you hit playback again, you're still in the same message. So it's harder for me to skip over things. That's why I use the check message button as a stop button. I can perform all of the functions in version 3 that I could in version 2. The difference is I gotta press more buttons and I have to remember button sequences. After a while, you get used to it. The sound quality is certainly better. He used a different kind of microphone on this version. In version 4, whenever that comes around, depending if he ever gets to it, maybe he'll bring back the pause button or eliminate the check message button or do something about the volume button. This device is better. It's not quite the equivalent of your belt-mounted recorder. It doesn't have folders. Although there's no limit on the number of messages, I would say when you get past about 20 messages, it gets kind of unwieldy. One of the things that you folks asked for at the last demo was whether you can reverse scroll. You couldn't do that in version 2. In version 3, he has added it sort of. If I press the play button and I hold it down, it'll go into reverse scroll. When you get the message you want, you let go of the button, it'll play the message, but then it goes automatically back into forward scroll. Let's see if we can try this here.
13, 12, 11.
It's counting down.
10, 9.
The bird at Kaufman.
All right,
7,
so
it, 6, 1, 6.
So it played message number 9. I had no idea in advance what's on that message. Now that the message has played, it's gone back into forward scroll. I would have preferred the delete button does nothing when this thing is idle. So since he's added speech to this thing in a sort of limited way, I would have been happy if when I hit the delete button, it'll say forward scroll, hit it again, it says reverse scroll, and it stays in that mode until you change it. Well, we can hope that maybe in version 4, he's going to put that in. One of the other things that you folks asked for was an earphone jack. And he's not put that in because then it would take him past the $30 price point. So I know that, for example, on your iPhone, there's a jack that serves both as the charging jack and the earphone jack combined. So I said, well, Ed, can you put two functions into one jack? And his comment is, the inside of this thing is so full of battery and circuit board, there isn't actually room to add any more circuit right now. So he's not able to give you the earphones. There's no earphone jack. You can make this thing awfully loud. I suppose you could use it to record a lecture at class, but you can't skip ahead. There's no fast forward, so this is not probably the ideal tool for that. I use this as a field recorder. So I saw you on the bus, so, oh, what's your phone number? I record it. Then I take it home, I transcribe the information to my desktop computer. I try not to leave stuff on here unless it's stuff I need like every day, like people's phone numbers or something like that. Tonight I'm going to a concert to a place I've never been, so I have the address and the driving directions all recorded already for the person that's going to do the driving. That's pretty much it. There is a delete button. I will tell you there's one fault that I discovered with this thing. In order to delete a message, you have to hit delete twice, which is kind of normal for these things. However, you have to hit delete twice within 1/100th of a second, and it's not humanly possible to hit the button that fast. And I complained, and he didn't believe me. So he sent out a bunch of these units to his other testing people, and they came back with the same feedback. So if you're trying to delete a message, I managed to delete about once every 10 attempts. Because you just can't hit the button fast. So that's going to be fixed in the next version. There is a delete all command on here. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I think it's a little dangerous. How often in your lifetime are you want to delete everything? If you're going to give this recorder to your kid sister, it may happen once. Delete the messages one at a time. You know, I didn't think that command was necessary. I will tell you I have a number of very short blank messages. I hit record. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. I hit stop. Now I have a blank message of a half a second. The message is too short for me to hit delete twice in that short space. So unless I delete everything on here, I'll never get rid of those messages. So there's some junk on here, and that's the way it is. So hopefully in the next version, I told them, when you hit delete the first time, it has to put the message on pause to give you enough time to hit the button the second time. So that's coming. The website is talktothewilson.com. I don't think you're going to see this product in retail stores. I'll tell you why. Ed's gotten environmental when it comes to the packaging. This thing used to be packaged in a big, massive plastic cage that was too big to fit in your pocket so you couldn't steal it from the stores. Now he's got this package in a little cardboard box the size of a credit card, and of course it's going to get shoplifted all over the place, so I rather doubt that retail stores are going to want to stock this thing. So you may have to get it by mail order, and to the best of my knowledge, it's still the only digital recorder out there that has this credit card configuration that can slip into your pocket where you don't need a holster.
Jeff, are any of the places like Independent Living Aids, or do you know if they're selling it, or Maxi Aids?
I have not checked. When I first learned about this, I think NFB has a store, and I called them up. They were testing it at the time, and I never got the results back of it. I figured for $30, you know, I'll buy it for giggles, and I still have version one. As I say, after a while, the metal skin got a little wonky, so it wasn't reliable. I'm satisfied that it does what it says that it does. Just don't expect it to be the duplicate of a Sony belt-mounted recorder, because it's just not that fancy.
Can't you delete things from with a computer?
No, there's no upload-download on this. The only connector here is the charging cable.
I said you convinced me not to buy it.
I suggested to him that he offer the charging cable as an extra cost option in case you have to buy a second one. He does provide it with a little key ring to go through the hole. If you try to attach your keys directly to this thing through the ring, the keys won't lay flat and it's going to tear up your pocket. You know, for the ladies using a pocketbook, maybe it doesn't matter so much. I got a keychain that has a little neck on it, so the keys are kind of hanging away from the recorder, and that way it goes in my pocket without doing a whole lot of damage.
I remember from the first version, let's say you have 20 messages, and let's say you are at number 2. So in order to get to number 20, you have to go like 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yes, you had to start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, but you only had to listen to a half a second of the message,
yeah,
and
but,
you could...
But can you go back, like...
So can it go from 2, 1 to 20 now? If you had 20 messages, can you... If you reverse it, can it...
Yeah, it'll say 20, 19, 18, 17, 16.
No, how about 2, 1, 20? Does it rap?
You know, I never played it back enough to see if it does rap.
Yeah. 9,
8,
7, 6, 5,
yeah, that'll blow us up.
4,
here we go.
1.
No, it comes to an end and does not rap. Yeah, well, here's why I wanted the delete button to switch from forward to reverse scroll. If I'm playing back a phone number, I'm trying to type it into my cell phone, it'll say 617, I can hit pause, punch in 617. I can hit play, plays the next three numbers, punch them in. However, if for some reason I didn't catch that on the first go around, I can't go back and hear the message again. I have to go all the way around. So that's why I wanted that reverse scrolling, and it's kind of doubtful as to just how helpful it really is. I'm trying to convince him to include the little converter cube. He assumes everybody has a computer, which of course isn't true. There's a little cube that you can get, and one end plugs into your wall outlet, and the other end has a USB connector, and then you can plug your charging cable in there. It'd be nice if he included that with this device, so that if you don't have a computer, you can still use it. As things stand now, if you wanted that function, you have to buy it separately.
Is there a beep? How do you know when the battery is low?
There's no way to know that. When it gets to a certain point, it stops. And then you charge it overnight. And I've only had to do that one time since I've had this.
Do you lose what's in it?
No, it's a non-volatile memory. The memory doesn't erase if the battery gets low. On version 2, the buttons were laid out in a rectangular grid, like left to right. In this version, they're two rows, but they're kind of catty-cornered to each other. So there's no left to right. They're sort of like left upper and left lower. So if you put the braille on here, the braille is a little bit confusing as to which button is what. So I would prefer he go back to the older style of layout. The buttons are tactile, but not great. They're sort of okay. I wish that they were a little sharper buttons. It's T-O, talk T-O, thewilson.com. And I'm happy to say that he allowed me to work on the instruction manual early on. He got the Chinese version, which doesn't translate real well. He allowed me to rewrite the instructions and make them much more blind friendly. Unfortunately, he fiddled with them after I got through with them, so they're not perfect, but they're way better than what you would normally expect from something like this. Thank you very much.